It is a special thing to be part of Southside. Talking of weddings and getting Peter Danielle, Peter Carey, I once had Johan and Jane and Jerome and Jane and Johan and Jane 2 weeks apart, and that was pretty awkward. Yeah, and just being part of the wedding yesterday and seeing all of the young people loving Jesus, loving each other, there's something very, very special happening. God continues to put something together here at Southside that is totally unique. Every church is unique, but it's very special to be part of it. And for Helen and me, at our stage of life, we're just grateful that we can still hang around and be part of this family. On the evening of the 28th of March, exiting the USA, I was sitting in the KAL lounge at the magnificent new Tom Bradley International Terminal. And I was anticipating 6 hours layover. So I organised the internet, was the first thing. And straight away a text came from Gene Poker in Sydney. Glenda is very low with pneumonia. About 5 minutes later, an email came from Shirley Towner at the National Office to tell me that Tony Hyatt had gone and that Coralie, his wife, wanted Roger to write an obituary. So sitting at the airport, I wrote an obituary for Tony. His funeral was the morning I arrived back home, so I couldn't make it to Hervey Bay for his funeral. 2 days after getting home, Glenda went to be with Jesus. And I had the privilege of sharing, along with her children, at her funeral at St. Manley's there in Manly, St. Matthew's in Manly. 3 days before I was in LAX, I was sitting for breakfast with John Snowden's parents in Ohio. And a text came through, shocking news that our precious colleague in the leadership training, John King, had gone to be with Jesus. He was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer on the 15th, the 10th of March, and on the 25th of March, he was in the presence of the King. Since coming home, we've lost Noel Blythe, one of the founders, like an apostle of the Christian and Missionary Alliance of Australia, planted all the Alliance churches in Western Australia. Lloyd Nicholas, who served faithfully for decades with OM in the ship ministry. Phil Skelly, wonderful Alliance leader who planted churches in New Zealand and then led our Karma services worldwide for years. And just Thursday, I learned of the passing of another cousin. I've now lost 3 cousins. There's about 84 of us altogether. Dad was one of 11 and one of 9, and Mum was 1 of 7, so there's lots of cousins. I also heard of the passing of a beautiful 90-year-old lady who was one of my mother's very, very close friends. And just last week we celebrated 24 years since my mum went to be with the Lord. And this morning I arrived here and Derek grabbed me and said, "We've got some shocking news from Melbourne. Beautiful lady, Carmel Fox, who has been pastored by Kevin and Derek and was one of the founding members of our Alliance Church down there at Yarra Junction in Melbourne, went this just last few days to visit her kids in Germany, stepped off the plane into the presence of Jesus." I knew you'd be looking morose by the time I'd finished the opening to this message. What is death? We've got some medical people here this morning. I've looked up the medical definition. Very briefly, it's simply irreversible brain damage and the moment at which spontaneous heartbeat cannot be restored. That's what we're all looking forward to, friends. The scriptures have a definition. Now, I'd better turn this thing on. It is on. Well, we're there. The scriptural definition, there are three ideas. The first one is physical death, which is the separation of the body from the soul and the spirit. Then the Bible talks about spiritual death, which is the separation of the soul and the spirit from God. But very soberly, the Bible speaks very clearly about eternal death, which is spiritual death made permanent. The Bible says in Revelation 21:8 that this is the second death. Now, how have people handled death throughout history? Most of you have heard of this man. Does anyone recognize him? He's an Englishman. He was a philosopher and an atheist. His name was Aldous Huxley. He died in 1963. He wrote The Brave New World. He also wrote a book. I mean, he wrote dozens of books, but he wrote another one called Heaven and Hell. But this is all he could offer to his sister when their mother passed away. I offer you no consolation, for I know of none. There are things which each must bear as best he may with the strength that has been allowed to him. Isn't that sad? At the end of a life, a brilliant man. I read some of his quotes over the week. He had some brilliant insights into life, but not into eternity, sadly. On the other hand, people have handled it quite differently. And here's my friend, John King. And some of you will remember when he came here and played his saw. 2 days before he died, life is not a journey to the grave with the incentive of arriving safely in a pretty and well-preserved body, but rather to skid in broadside, thoroughly used up, totally worn out, and loudly proclaiming, "Wow, what a ride." Every email I received from my friend John over decades finished John King, and it was signed John, and then it had live vibrantly, learn continuously, love deeply, and leave a legacy. Now, I'm not in the habit of ringing. Kevin and I get coffee together every few weeks, but I don't usually say, "Listen, mate, how about next Wednesday at the coffee club? I want to chat with you about death." We're not prone to do that. In fact, we like to avoid death. But as the death of precious friends and loved ones have just filled my thoughts and emotions these last weeks, I've not been thinking so much about how do I face death, but how do I live while others around me are dying? That's the issue for me. And I found a beautiful passage of scripture, and I'm going to read. I wasn't going to do this, but I feel I should read this to you. Psalm 116 is King David's take on death. Now listen, and see if you can count how many phrases or words refer to death in the midst of this hope-filled chapter. I haven't put it up there. Just listen as I read it from the message. "I love God because he listened to me, listened as I begged for mercy. He listened so intently as I laid out my case before him. Death stared me in the face. Hell was hard on my heels. Up against it, I didn't know which way to turn, and then I called to God for help. Please, God, I cried out, save my life. God is gracious. It is he who makes things right, our most compassionate God. God takes the side of the helpless, and when I was at the end of my rope, he saved me. I said to myself, relax and rest. God has showered you with blessings. Soul, you've been rescued from death. Eye, you've been rescued from tears. And you, foot, were kept from stumbling." And then this verse, which I want to be the theme of the whole message this morning. "I'm striding in the presence of God, alive in the land of the living. I stayed faithful, though bedeviled. And despite a ton of bad luck, despite giving up on the human race and saying they're all liars and cheats." Ever felt like that? Every night when I watch television, I say to Helen, "They're all liars and cheats." I'm one of them. "What can I give back to God for the blessings he's poured out on me?" Then this wonderful verse, "I'll lift high the cup of salvation, a toast to God. I'll pray in the name of God. I'll complete what I promised God I'd do. And I'll do it together with his people. And when they arrive at the gates of death, God welcomes those who love him. Oh God, here I am, your servant, your faithful servant. Set me free for your service. I'm ready to offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and to pray in the name of God. I'll complete what I promised God I'd do, and I'll do it in the company with his people, in the place of worship, in God's house in Jerusalem, God's city. Hallelujah. So here's David saying, I'm striding in the presence of God, alive in the land of the living, but the context is a context of death. How many times did you get a reference to death? Three. Any more? Any advance on three? Okay. Well, I did a count through it and came up with 13. 13 life-threatening elements. So here's snares of death in the old version, pangs of Sheol, distress, anguish, save my life, brought low, death, tears, stumbling, greatly afflicted, consternation, death of his saints, my bonds. That adds up to a lot of trouble. And honestly, you know, and as I share with you, as we watch the news this year, as we experience these passing of loved ones in our own lives, we feel we're living in a war zone. I feel like I'm living in a war zone. I don't know how it is with you. Just a lot of trouble. And that's our context. We've shared quite a bit over the years, beautiful lady. And you haven't had an easy life. And here you are, trusting God. There's a lot goes wrong in life. There's just a lot of trouble brewing out there. There's a lot of trouble brewing in here, actually, if I'm honest. But the good news is this. Resurrection takes place in a world where people are dying. And we just celebrated that a few weeks ago in our Easter services again. We've just been on holidays for 10 days. But living in the land of the living is not a vacation paradise, I've discovered. And let's just think together for a few minutes and try and engage in some thinking and some reflection on the scriptures about what resurrection life really looks like while others around us are dying. Because I don't know if I'm going to drop dead while I'm preaching to you. We don't know if we're going to make it to lunch today. That's just the reality. So to give a little bit of a context for our thinking, I now want to take us to a New Testament passage. So could we stand as we read God's word together? This is from Romans. We usually use these verses when we're at baptism, but let's read this together this morning. Let's read together. When we are lowered into the water, it is like the burial of Jesus. When we are raised up out of the water, it's like the resurrection of Jesus. Each of us is raised into a light-filled world by our Father so that we can see where we're going in our new grace-sovereign country. If we get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, we also get included in his life-saving resurrection. We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a signal of the end of death as the end. Never again will death have the last word. When Jesus died, he took sin down with him, but alive, he brings God down to us. Hallelujah. Please be seated. Now, you know, it's almost silly to say it, but all of us will one day face our own personal death. And while every one of us here this morning is very different in many, many respects, we share this one common frailty. We're all going to die. But I want to tell you this morning, on the basis of God's word, that you can walk out of here this morning absolutely sure that you can stride with your head held high in the presence of God in the land of the living, because you have made death your friend. Ever thought of it that way? So let's go. Let's just think about this for a minute. Resurrection living in a world of death is possible when I understand and experience the resurrection of Jesus. We're living, you know, we often talk about we're living in the era of the Holy Spirit. This morning I'm thinking about we're living in the era of resurrection. Not fully yet. So the first thing is this. From that passage in Romans that we've just in verse 4, Christ rose from the dead. It says Christ was brought back from death to life by the glorious power of the Father. And we've just celebrated this dynamic, life-changing resurrection of Jesus on Easter Sunday. It's a simple but profound truth. Christ rose from the dead. Now that ought to do something for resurrection living. If you really not just know this in your head, but experience and understand it, it will change the way you live. Now I'm not going to go into all the evidence for Christ's resurrection. That's another sermon. You're all smart people and you can go and Google and read your Bible and make a big list of the fact that, you know, even people who are not believers have looked at the evidence and said, wow, this man really did live, he really did die, and he really did rise from the dead again. So we know that. But all I'm saying is, Christ rose from the dead, and if you are convinced of that, you will know how to stride in the presence of God in the land of the living. The second point in this passage in Romans is that Christ will never die again. He reigns triumphant over death. Now that knowledge and that experience should radically change the way we live. Now I don't have time to give all the Bible passages, but I've just listed out a few things that are absolutely true, and this is how we should be living according to the scriptures. Not just waiting, you know, my sins are gone and I'm going to go to heaven one day, but before I get to the pearly gate, how am I going to live? The power of death has been broken. The bondage, the very root of bondage that I'm in is gone, and the fear of death has been severed. I should be living like that. Another thing is, I don't need to get to the top in order to be successful. And I don't need to run away and hide in fear when trouble comes because I haven't got enough money in the bank. I can actually be happy when people laugh at me because I share Jesus with them. We've got a young Chinese man, 27 years of age, staying with us. He came late last night. We invited him to come to church this morning. No, I'm not interested in church. Well, that's fine. He's got another 5 days at our house. So. Every loss that you suffered on this earth for the kingdom of God will be made up a thousandfold, according to the scriptures. See, there's no ultimate risk in the cause of truth. Finally, we're going to get there and see his face and we'll know, praise God, it was true. And for those of us who are a little bit older, the decay of this body is just preparation for the life to come. And every time my knees ache and my back aches and all of that, I just think, thank you, Jesus. I've been a pastor long enough to know the Bible says that, you know, the inner man is getting stronger every day as the old man is decaying. The sad thing is that I've seen the inner man decaying in my brothers and sisters. And I've had to fight against that myself. As I've retired from pastoral ministry, we had a lovely Bible study at our home group on Friday night, and we talked about, why do you serve Jesus? Well, I said, you know, for 35 years I served Jesus because I was a pastor and I could get up every Sunday morning and preach. I had a reason. But now, I'm here today. Thank you, Kevin, for the opportunity. I'm only relieving him because he's got two weddings in a row, poor fellow. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, make sure that the inner man is getting stronger every day. Tozer said we leak. It just means that we need, somehow we get disconnected from resurrection life. It's there, available for us. And I'm just, this year, I'm just learning again what it means to be in the Word of God every morning and to sing some of those beautiful. Pandora's great, isn't it, for Christian music? Have you discovered Pandora for Christian music? Wow. So I walk around the garden. I can do veggie gardens now, worshipping God. And I'm still taking that day a month just to go away and be with Jesus down at my favourite spot. I deliberately go to where I launch my boat. And I don't take any of my fishing gear, I just take my Bible. It's sort of an inattention, but it's good for the soul. I know I'll be back here next week. The third thing in this passage is that through faith, we are united to Christ and we die in Him. We've died with Christ. Those of us who are united with Christ have died with Him. It just doesn't mean, again, that we've earned this right to go to heaven one day. Our old nature has been crucified. So we're free to live, to stride in the presence of God in the land of the living. God's made everything available for us. We'll move on quickly. And finally, we shall rise like He rose and live with Him forever. I sort of saw again this week. I've known this before, but did you know, we're not going to die a death like Jesus. No one ever died a death like Him. He died that we might sleep. Have a think about that. When He died, He bore all the sin of the world in His soul, the blackness of sin. You and I don't have to do that. He did it for us. And we can rise again and live with Him. What a beautiful, beautiful reality. How can a person have confidence living in this world to face death? Here's another chap that you might recognise. His name's Mozart. He was actually, let me see if I can get it, he was actually christened, baptised Johannes. No, he had five names. Yeah, I can't remember. Christostasum. Johannes, Christostasum, Wolfgang, something or other. But he died, Amadeus, he died at 35 years of age. This brilliant, brilliant man. Many times when I'm walking around with these earphones worshipping God, I just have to get the Messiah and have to, it just lifts my spirit. But this is what he said. Wrote in 1787, he wrote this astonishingly optimistic letter to his dad. Since death, I haven't got the whole quote, I'll read the whole thing. Since death is the true end and purpose of life, I have made it my business over the past few years to get to know this true, this best friend of man, so that so well that the thought of him not only holds no terrors for me, but brings me great comfort. I thank God that He has granted me the good fortune and opportunity to get to know death as the key to our true happiness. Now that's the opposite of what the world thinks, isn't it? Here's this Christian man. I never go to bed without reflecting on the thought that perhaps as young as I am, the next day I might not be alive anymore. And no man who knows me will be able to say that in social intercourse I am morose or sad. For this happiness, I thank every day my Creator, and with all my heart, I wish this happiness for all my fellow men. What a beautiful statement. What a powerful statement. Because Mozart was in Christ, and Christ was in him. And he could write this incredible music that the world has been blessed by ever since. Well, I could go on and on, but you know, there are always two types of people in a service like this. There are those who believe in Jesus and those who are yet to believe in Jesus. And for those of us who believe in Jesus, I just hope that this has been an encouragement for you today. Look again at the resurrection of Jesus. Be convinced of it, but don't just know it in your head. Practice spiritual disciplines to make sure you are connected to the resurrected Jesus. And then you can stride in the presence of God in the land of the living. And if you're here this morning, and maybe I know there are people who are coming who are still interested in Jesus. And I never preach without giving people an opportunity to receive Jesus. And if this morning God said something to you about your own life, and maybe you've been really afraid of death, you're wondering what on earth's going to happen. I don't think it's being afraid of death so much. I mean, I've seen so many people die, and I think we're probably right to be afraid of the process of dying. That's not very nice sometimes. But if this morning you would like to get things right and make death your friend. You know, I can recommend this because on the 13th of August, just in a few weeks' time, I can look back over 60 years of walking with Jesus. So I, as a salesman this morning, I can thoroughly recommend making friends with death. I made friends with death when I was 12. And it's a wonderful thing. Let's pray together. And if this morning you'd like to just invite Christ, perhaps for the very first time, to become your Lord and Saviour, you can pray under your breath something simple like this. God, I'm not really sure why I'm here this morning, but I have realised this morning that I am a sinful person. And I'm sorry that my sin caused your death. Thank you so much for being willing to die on the cross for me. And thank you that you rose from death to give me life. And right now, I receive that life. Please forgive me and give me the gift of eternal life. God, I don't understand it all. But as much as I know how this morning, I give you the control of my life. Please lead me in the pathway of your plan for my life and teach me what I want and what I need to know. Thank you for receiving me as your child. In Jesus' name, Amen.